shiur, what we're learning about today, how to choose a profession, is a shiur that I began giving a couple of years ago when guys asked me. Fair question to ask, right? You know, it's a question people don't begin asking because people kind of assume that it has nothing to do with Judaism. You choose a profession like the guy. You know, and when people start understanding Judaism properly, as Avodat Hashem in the broadest sense of the word, that we should be trying to live our lives in all ways properly, not in the, you know, by fabricated way. There's the Jewish side and then there's the secular side. So it's natural that people say, well, what about a profession? Such a central part of my life. How do I choose a profession? Do we choose like the goyim or do we not choose like the goyim? I'll give you the simple answer first and then the shiur will be the longer answer. The simple answer is no and yes. Okay, do we choose a profession like the goyim? No and yes. You got me there, Mr. Jessen?
Yes, I do.
In the first part of the shiur, we'll explain no, and then we'll explain yes. Okay. Before we talk about a particular profession, I want to speak briefly about a topic that I've spoken about a couple of times. I assume most people heard me speak about it, so you'll give me the signals and I won't elaborate too much. But the first thing we need to understand is that having a profession is not a bidiyavid. It's not like there's something wrong with me, I'm a cop-out, I'm a compromise. Melacha, avoda, is a very important part of why Hashem created the world and why He created man. And we see this in Hashem's intention in creating man, Patchavav, going to make a creation in the image of God that will harness the world. The most basic expression of being created in the image of God is that we harness the world. Etc. And that's why when Hashem puts man in Gan Eden, the first thing we're told about being put there, he's put there to work, even though Gan Eden doesn't need man's work. Man needs to work. The Medrash elaborates on this in a different number of different contexts. One is the way creation is summarized in Perek Beis, Pasuk Gimel. Vayevarech Elokim et Yom HaShviv Vayekadesh Oto, Ki Vo Shavat Mikom Melachto Asher Bara Elokim La'asot. What does that mean? We say it all the time. Vo Shavat Mikom Melachto Asher Bara Elokim La'asot. So the Medrash says everything in this world needs to be completed. Kol Ma She'nivra B'Sheitz Mei B'Sheitz V'Chin Asiyah. It needs to be processed by man. Even man himself needs to be completed, needs to be fixed. And this is the idea expressed by Rabbi Akiva in his famous debate with Tornus Rufus. Right? Tornus Rufus came and said, what's better, God's creations or man's creation? Rabbi Akiva knew where he was going, so he said, man's creations. So Tornus Rufus said, what about Shamayim Varet? So Rabbi Akiva said, don't point outside of my venue. We can only talk about what we can control. So then Rabbi Akiva went on the offense. So then he said to him, why do you do Bris Milah? Rabbi Akiva said, I knew the question you were asking, that's why I told you man's creations are better. And then Rabbi Akiva went on the counteroffensive and said, what's better, cookies or wheat? Cookies. We are given the potential by God and the responsibility of developing what God creates to a higher level. Rabbi Akiva's proof, if you remember from our previous discussions of this medrash, his proof is? Can you? Well, that was his question, but his ultimate proof is the umbilical cord. It's in the medrash, on the side, right? Man is the only creature born in a way that if action isn't taken by a man to separate the mother from the baby, they both die. Why? God couldn't have had human beings born like horses. The answer was to show men that there's no God. Evolution couldn't have arranged that evolution arranges that we live in the most efficient way, right? So all the, you know, people born with the umbilical cords should have been naturally selected out. Then we could have the natural horse born. You know, why not? To show us, and again, I think this is psychologically where the idea of cutting the cord at the end of a project comes from. The Kutzker Rebbe said pshat in this direction in the first pasuk in the Torah. Bereishit bara Elokim. There's a lot of discussion. What exactly does that mean? Right. So he said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu bara rak et ha-reishit, et ha-shar hishir lanu. Right? God only created the beginning. The rest he left in our hands. And that's not. Right? And that's like a good way of summarizing it succinctly. The idea that's expressed in many of the Midrashim. You know, we try and find remuzim and things in the Torah. Everyone knows the famous remez of the Gra, right, in Bereishis? Someone said, the Gra said, you can find the Torah, anything, anywhere in the Torah. Someone says, yeah, where do you find Pidgin HaBen in the first pasuk? So he said, Bereishit bara Elokim, ben rishon achrei shloshim yom tifteh. What do you think of that, Brandon? That's why they called him the Gra. He was a smart dude. Galinik, he was a smart dude. He knew a lot of Torah too. It's not just enough to be smart, right? Okay. So, it's man's job. And not only is it his job, but it's a central part of his job. Of course, we know the Mishnah Avot, which says the world stands on three things, Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. And even though Avodah there is generally translated in a narrower sense of Avodat Hashem, Korbanot, Tefillah, Avodah itself is also important. We know that Avraham Avinu, when he was wandering in the lands, he saw lands where the people partied, and he hoped that that wasn't where Hashem intended for him to go. And then when he got to Eretz Yisrael and saw them working the land, he said, Halavai, Yehech Chelki Ba'aretz Hazot. The famous drasha of Rabbi Yishmael regarding the pasuk in Kriyat Shema of Yasafta de Ganecha. You would have thought, Layom Sefer Torah Zami Picha, you should learn only all day and never work. That's why it says Yasafta de Ganecha, to teach you that you're supposed to do Derech Eretz. In fact, the Mishnah Novus goes even further. It means Derech Eretz Ein Torah, Ad Kedekach. In fact, the Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra puts Avodah on an even higher level. We know in many psukim, Torah speaks about following the ways of God, sticking to God. The Gemara in Shabbos asks, how can you follow the ways of God? God is above us, He's beyond us. The Jews identified God at Kriyat Yamsuf and Shirat Hayam as the one they want to glorify. How can you glorify God? He's untouchable, unreachable. Zeket Ivan Ve'u. So the Gemara in Shabbat says, one pshat says you glorify the mitzvot. The second pshat, Abishol, says imitation is the best form of flattery. Are we supposed to imitate the ways of God? So there, the Gemara in Shabbat says, Mahu Chanun V'rach, Mafatraye Chanun V'rach. Midos. The Medrash says different. The Medrash says we imitate the actions of God. It's not a steer, of course. It's Midos, his actions. We should imitate both. Well, how did God, what did God do at the beginning of the world? He planted. So to you, particularly when you go into Eretz Yisrael, we talk about some Tu B'Shvat. You should plant. You have a responsibility to develop the world. Avotu Rabbi Natan goes even further and says, if you're in the middle of planting and you hear Mashiach has arrived, we would drop everything. Mashiach has arrived. That's the goal. That's not. You finish planting and then you go greet the Mashiach. That's why the Mishnah writes in Avot, Shmaya says, not Rav Heller's son, the earlier Shmaya. Shmaya says, Ehovet HaMelecha. Masi, you and Shmaya probably get along. It's not because they got these Pirkei Avos names, you know. Yeah. You get a whole lineup of Pirkei Avos people. It'd be cool, no?
Do you know a Tarfon?
I don't know a Tarfon. Mm. But he's not a Pirkei Avos person because he's quoted all over the place. I'm talking about Pirkei Avos people. But I think we should do like a search on the internet today. You can find all the people. Okay, they're lined up. Have a little, you know, party. What do you think, Krieger? Krieger said he'll sponsor. Nelson said he'll get everybody sweatpants. Oh, he left. You know why? He went to make sure Safin ordered me sweatpants. The good news is the more I talk about it, the more people are going to make sure that Safin ordered them sweatpants. Or it'll get into the Purim skit. Or both. Chesson, what do you say?
Or both.
Both? Okay, fine. Alright, so, Shmaya says, Ehovet HaMelecha. Avot Rabbi Natan has a lengthy discussion of that statement of Shmaya. Talks about how the Brit, the covenant with God, includes not only resting on Shabbat, but working as well. Sheish yamin ta'avod v'atzit t'kom alachtecho. Kishem sha'atorah nitnim b'brit, kacham alocha nitnim b'brit. Shenem ha'sheish yamin ta'avod v'atzit t'kom alachtecho. Avot Rabbi Natan continues on page 3. Talks about where we see the significance of work in so many contexts. Adam Rishon couldn't eat from the tree until he worked. Ashuras Hashchino on the Mishkan didn't come until people worked. In fact, the Yehuda ben Becerra, the second piece from the end of the Avot Rabbi Natan, goes even further, and he says, Mishain lo malocha lasos mayasa. Let's say you have no work to do. What should you do? How would we answer that question, or at least high school seniors, how would we answer that question? What do you do? Nothing. What do you have no malocha to do? So you don't do anything. The answer is, you see, there's a value in doing malacha. There's a value in doing malacha. He says, you find the chatzer that needs work, and you work on it. Rabbi Tarfon says, the last part, when do people die? When they have nothing to do. There's two levels of death, by the way. There's actual clinical death, and then there's the way many people in the Western world live their lives. You understand what I mean, Green? They got nothing to do. Technically, their heart is still beating. Mishnah in Ksuvos talks about when a woman enters into a marriage, she has certain responsibilities towards her husband, but if she brings in a lot of shvachot, she doesn't have to do them herself. Right? Others can do it. But Eleza says, even if she brings in 100 shvachot, she has to do basic work. Why? Shabbatala mevi ali dezima. When you have nothing to do, you get involved in the wrong things. See the internet. People ask me all the time, how do I avoid seeing the wrong things on the internet? Or an alternative version of the question, which is either an actual alternative version or just a nicer way of asking the same question. How do I avoid wasting time on the internet? The answer is the same. Well, the first question, you also filters and stuff. Okay, fine. But the second question is by having important things to do. If you're wasting time on the internet, the real issue is that you don't have what to be working on. You don't have enough in your life. And Habatala, maybe the day Zima, the Maharal is Medayik in the Mishnah. Shmaya didn't say, do work. He didn't say, it's important. He said, love it. Love work. We're supposed to love work because it's a basic part of our identity. God programs us to enjoy working, to enjoy the results of working. It's a natural, correct instinct. Beyond man, Malacha is also important for the world. Yeshayahu speaks about God having created the world, but not having created it to remain barren. So, Tohu v'ra'a l'shevet yitzara. The world was created to be developed. To be developed by the Tzelem Elokim in this world by man. That's how the Gemara explains why people whose profession is gambling are not kosher l'eidus. The first explanation given is because there's theft involved on some level, in which case it wouldn't be only if it's a profession. And then the Gemara says even if that doesn't apply, the problem is you're not being osek b'yishuva shalolam. That's such a problem that you're pasul l'eidus. The Rambam explains. There's an iser of being osik b'dvarim b'telim. She'en roi l'odim shi'yaso kol yom avela b'divrei chachma v'yishuva shalolam. We know how much the Rambam valued chachma. To see him put anything on the pedestal next to chachma is shocking. Maybe the last thing you would expect a philosophical, theoretical person to put on the pedestal with chachma is yishuva shalolam. But here you see who the Rambam was, what Judaism is. Is it theoretical or is it practical? And the answer is it's both. It's being wise and being, making a contribution, making a difference. And I think this is encapsulated in the famous drasha of Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Chanina that we say Friday night. Talmidei Chachamim marbim shalom ba'olam. You know, which at first glance seems to be not what we think Talmidei Chachamim do. The way Talmidei Chachamim are marbim shalom ba'olam is if they understand where this principle comes from. Shenemar. V'chol banayach limudei Hashem v'rav shalom banayach. Al tikrei banayach elo bonayach. Just that one vowel difference. Person needs to understand that we're in this world to be builders. Important transition to go from being a kid to being an adult. An adult means someone who sees himself responsible for making a difference, for developing something. If a chacham understands that his role is to develop, the last thing he'd want to do is make machlokas, because machlokas is destructive. Man has a tafkid, a responsibility that's very important that he should love, which is to make a difference in the world. Now we get to part two. Okay, so we got to make a difference in the world. Al tikri banayach ala bonayach. So should we all be Bob the Builder? Should we be Bob the Builder? There's a lot of good ways to make a difference. One thing, by the way, you see is that your work should try to be something where you make a difference. Work where you just make money without making a difference would be less good, right? Obviously, it's important to support yourself. There's a value in that. If the only way you can support yourself is through jobs that don't contribute to the world, it's legitimate. But a person should strive to do something that does contribute. Now, 95% of the jobs today are different than the jobs were 200-300 years ago. Most people don't go out building buildings or planting farms. Today, Yeshuva Shalolam expresses itself in many other ways, right? Making the world a better place. An accountant. Does he contribute to Yeshuva Shalolam? Yes. Because if there aren't people to take care of the financial statements, companies can't function. Governments can't function, right? So I'm trying to show you how even things you might not necessarily see as connected to Yeshuva Shalolam are connected. That having been said, there are some things that are less connected. Now, I want to be careful because, you know, who am I? Who am I to be the judge of exactly what connects and doesn't connect? But there may be some kind of investment schemes. I don't mean to necessarily use the word in a negative way, but don't necessarily help the market function and businesses survive, right? I want to be careful. I'm going to get a bunch of calls now from day traders. You know, people who, they up and low the stock within a certain number of hours to make profits. I don't think it's usher, but, you know, I wonder if it contributes to the world growth, to the world's growth. Again, if I'm wrong, I need just a short email. I don't need to get 100 emails from people now. You know, how dare you imply? Do you realize how central day trading is to the survival of farms? Yeah, I see it coming here, but okay. definitely something to think about. And obviously, the more it contributes, the more significant it is, right? So, okay, an accountant and a lawyer. So you're a good lawyer, helping the law function. Law is very important. Shlosha Dvarim, right? Doctor, hockey player. I'm saying all kinds of important things. I was joking about the hockey player.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of important things out there. Architects, engineers, the arts, making the world more beautiful. So much. So how do I choose? Or if you're Jewish, how do you choose between doctor, lawyer, and accountant? Well, if you're Jewish, you become a doctor. Okay, surgeon, general practitioner. Within surgery, there's, you know, cardiovascular, there's neuro. How do you choose? Oh, now I've asked the question Jewishly. How do you choose? So, I said before that I believe Jews are supposed to choose their profession differently than goyim. I mean, do they choose it the same way? No. How is that? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos on page 5 tells us, of course, V'chol ma'asecha yu l'shem shamayim. That statement is very important because it relates to kol ma'asecha. Everything a Jew does should be l'shem shamayim. All his decisions should be what he feels God wants from him. And in a sharper formulation of this, earlier in that parak, Rabbi Gamliel, the son of Rabbi Yudah Anasi, says, "Asei ritzono kirtzonecha kidei she'yase ritzoncha kirtzono." A person should strive for the level where they make what God wants what they want. They're able to internalize the Ratzon Hashem in a way that their Ratzon strives for the right kind of things. Okay, so I want to do the Shem Shemayim. What does God want me to be? So this requires the same kind of search that we should always be employing when we talk about decisions in our life. And I've spoken a number of times with you this year about the Akedah as a model for this. Right? We commemorate the Akedah not through one mitzvah, the mitzvah of Tkiyat Shofar, which has no connection to Yitzchak, who did not have horns. Right? It has connection to the ram. God never told Avram to sacrifice the ram. If you look on page 5, Avram raised his eyes, saw a ram caught in the thicket, and figured it out because he was looking for it. And of course, Chazal tell us that the ram was created in Mishesh to make braces for that purpose. If we look at page 6, I think you see this concept in Megillat Esther as well. When Mordechai tells Esther she has to go to Achashverosh, and Mordechai, Esther says, "How can I go to Achashverosh? I'll get killed." And Mordechai says, Pasuk Gimel, "Don't think you can save yourself this way. If you won't act, the Jews will be saved by God some other way. You and your family, or ironically, will be the ones lost." Who knows? Mordechai's not a Novi. Right? Avram can't say 100% God wants him to sacrifice the ram, right? But who knows? Maybe this is why you became queen in the first place. Again, the only reason Mordechai is able to reach such a conclusion is because he's reflective on the events happening in his life, in the life of those who he's connected to. Esther becomes queen against her will. Mordechai's trying to figure out why. He doesn't have the answer right away. He doesn't forget it. When this happens, he puts one and one together. That kind of reflectiveness is how you can reach conclusion. So we always want to know, Rebbe, how do I know? How am I going to figure it out? And the answer is, you got to think. You got to be reflective. You got to search. In fact, the Gemara in Erechim goes even further. Gemara that needs to be understood. It asks, how far does the Assyrian go? So the Gemara talks about different kind of things. You order clothing and it doesn't fit. You wanted a certain kind of dish, you got the wrong one. Even if you put your hand into your pocket to pull out 3 coins and you pull out 2 coins. Such small kinds of things. People ask, is it really a sign of Yisurin? If I reach into my pocket for a nickel and I pull out a dime, do I have to have a tiny tzibbuk? Right, so the answer is that I think what the Gemara wants to sensitize us to is to be reflective. But even the smaller things in our life we should think about. We should think about whether there's a message there. We don't always know that there's a message there, right? We can't always know, but we should always be on alert. I want to mention one last idea regarding this that I think I may have mentioned in the past, so stop me if I have. It's definitely an important theme. When we talk about searching for the will of God, it's not so pushy. It's not so pushy because it's easy to make a mistake. And let me show you what I mean. The Medrash Rabbah tells us, at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, we of course know about the 2.5 Shvatim who asked to remain on the eastern side of the Jordan River. So the Medrash says, because they put their money before the Jewish people, They were exiled first, and they were lost to the Jewish people forever. Punishment. You can understand why. Put their money first. This is a traditional drasha, the rabbi in shul, got values, right, blah, blah, blah. But I think it's not so simple. Why? Because if you look at the psukim here on the bottom of page 6, when they come to Moshe, let's look at what they say, Pasuk Gimel. Atarot v'divon v'yazer v'nimra v'cheshbon v'elale usvam unuvo v'on ha'aretz asher hikah Hashem lefnei adat Yisrael eretz miknehi v'lavadecha mikneh. Why do they mention in Pasuk Dal that the land is land that God has captured, God has conquered for them? Why do they mention that? Yeah. I don't want to just show that. I think it's possible to say they really were. God captured this land for us. Okay, well, what does he want to do with it? Well, what is the land? What kind of land is the land? It's Graceland. What am I talking about that last night? Memphis, Tennessee. And it's Graceland. And we have flocks. It's quite possible that they genuinely believed that God wanted them to stay there. Why is that problematic? How can they be punished? They're looking. They're trying to figure out, right? They know God conquered the land. It's grazed land. They make a judgment. They figure... So maybe they were wrong. But that's my life. I'm going to look carefully. I'm going to be wrong, and I'm going to be damned forever? That sounds pretty harsh, no? Baruch? Right, Targum always tells us you have to do your best to try and figure out the Ratzon Hashem. God can't expect you to be right. He can only expect you to try your hardest. Uh-oh! Is he just saying that to us to make us feel good? I think the Torah gives you the answer when you read the Parsha carefully here. Who is the subject of Pasuk Aleph? Who should have been the subject of Pasuk Aleph? Pasuk Aleph should have been written this way. V'livnei Reuven v'livnei Gad haya miknei Rav. By writing it this way, the Torah makes what seemed to be the subject. Miknei Rav haya livnei Reuven v'livnei Gad. And the Mikneh is, of course, what's prominent in the story. I'm confident that if you guys would look at the land that they were looking at, you would not see it as grazed land. Why? You're not from Memphis. Meaning you don't have flocks. Why did they see it as grazed land? They had flocks, and it was all they thought about. If all you think about is grazing cattle, you will be able to convince yourself that God wants you to be in such and such a place because you can raise cattle there. If all you think about is fill in the blank, you will convince yourself that it's what God wants from you. In order to see the things God wants from you, you have to be genuine and sincere. Now, that's still a challenge, right? You know, okay, thank you, Rabbi. That's so easy. How do I know if I'm genuine and sincere? This is good advice as far as two things are concerned. Not just the profession in general. Ask someone else besides yourself. Why is someone else besides yourself better than you? They're not you. They're more objective. And ask people who have more experience in these kind of areas. You're going to court, you get a lawyer. You have a medical problem, you get a doctor. You have a tax issue, you get an accountant. You have a God issue, you speak to people who know more about God, right? You say, hey, here's my cheshbon. I'm thinking to myself, I see this land, it's grazed land, I have cattle. Makes sense I should move there, no? So what did we see thus far? A Jew should make his decision about a profession different than a goy because he should be concerned not with, you know, how do goyim make decisions about their profession? Like maybe I should have asked in the beginning. How does a goy decide what to go into?
Money.
However he'll make more money. Okay, is that it? What I like doing. What will bring me respect? What my parents want? I don't know, right? Any of the above? In the end, selfish reasons. Maybe some people decide to go into a profession because they think they can help the world. The common denominator is whatever seems right to them for whatever reason seems right to them, right? A Jew shouldn't be making his decision that way. How should he be deciding? Yeah, a guy also, I should say that. A guy also should make a decision, right? What does he think God wants from him? A guy also should try to live up to the will of God, right? And here it's not one of the mitzvahs to choose a profession, so it should be equal. A God-fearing person, shouldn't say that. All people should make the decision about which profession based on. Maybe some don't. Right? But all people should make their profession decision this way. Okay, so we should search for the will of God. How do we figure it out? We look sincerely. Okay, fair enough. I'm sincere. Now what do I figure out? A person can look for 20 years to figure out if it's better to be a cardiologist or a neurosurgeon, they can look through the whole Torah, they're not going to find an answer. So now we get to the yes part. You ready for the yes part? On page 7, the Gemara is darshaning a pasuk in Kohelet, which says that God makes everything right in its time. Melamed shekol echad v'yechad yipelo HaKadosh Baruch Hu umnuto b'fanov. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes everyone like their job. Amar Ef Papa Haini Damri Inchi Tala Leikura Ledavar Achar V'yudi De'avad. You can put mud out for a pig and he'll do his thing. A pig likes the mud. People like their jobs. Rashi explains, even a tanner, tanners in those days would work with manure. Even a tanner likes his job. Why did God make tanners like working with manure? God wants to make sure the world works. The world needs tanners. The world needs, you know, undertakers. The world needs, or it's underdoggles, needs undertakers. It needs garbage men. God wants people to choose being garbage men. God wants people to enjoy their jobs, right? God instilled love of things in people so that they'll love what they're doing, right? The Gemara doesn't say this, but I feel it's fair to say, and therefore, if you want to figure out what you should be, how do you figure it out? See what you like. Isn't that what a guy does? Excuse me. Isn't that what a non-God-fearing person does? Yeah, but you do it for a different reason. You can have two people choosing medicine because they have a natural inclination for it. One is an Eved Hashem. He genuinely wants to do what Hashem wants from him. He's trying to figure out what that is. He sees he has a natural inclination. He reaches the conclusion God wants him to be a doctor. The other person just says, I like medicine. One is an Eved Hashem. The other is an Eved himself. Now, you know, they're nafkaminas technically in how they live their lives. Most importantly is who they are. So, should a God-fearing person choose their profession the same way as a non-God-fearing person? No. And yes. You with me? Now the yes isn't a full yes, right? And you got to try and figure out, okay. I'll give you an example. I have a student. Many years ago. You don't know. Very smart guy. Okay? He was studying in university the mind-brain problem. There's a famous thing called the mind-body problem, how the mind interacts with the body. This is a further diuk. The mind-brain. How thinking interacts with the brain. So I asked him, a PhD. I said, what are you going to do with that? Because we're going to open a center to study the mind-brain problem. I said, what's that going to do for the world? What's that going to do for Am Yisrael? What's it going to do? I'm not saying research doesn't do. It has to be some translation. I was like, whoa. I could be a person who goes into studying that issue because it's an issue that interests him, etc. But you have to be thinking practically, right? What am I supposed to do with this? Someone raised their hand, right? They took it back? Yes.
I was asking a question.
About the mind-brain problem?
No. Even if you are picking the Hashem Shemaim, that's like you're picking that secondary to what you like. So what really puts you on a different level?
You should be the Hashem Shemaim. You should, well, it depends why you are choosing to follow your natural inclination. And by the way, your natural inclination, you would then want to make sure it fits with some L'shem Shemayim plan. If your natural inclination is to be a murderer, oh yeah, extreme, right? If your natural inclination is to do something that has no seeming value, you would have to figure out how to translate that, right? I want to conclude with one last point. It's an interesting issue. A lot of people identify Judaism or your success in Israel with the extent to which you become irrealistic and want to learn in Kollel your whole life. Or, if you're a little more realistic, be a Rebbe. So on the one hand, we feel that's incorrect. God doesn't want everyone to be a Rebbe. Some people he wants to be tanners, doctors, lawyers, maybe even lawyers. Right? God wants all these professions. That having been said, it's important for us to highlight that lucky is the one who has the ability to be a mechanech, to impact people in the most important way, in the spiritual way. I say lucky is the one because there have been times and there are communities in the Jewish world where you be a doctor, oh, that's choshev. You be a Rebbe, oh. Who wants to be a Rebbe? Those who can't be anything else. So again, a person, the opposite, where everyone should be a Rebbe, where you're a loser if you're not a Rebbe, that's wrong. But lucky is the one who's able to impact people spiritually. Now, by the way, you can impact people spiritually even if you're not a Rebbe. Everyone should aim to impact people spiritually. It's the most important thing. Lucky is the one who gets to do that full time. The more you can do that, that's the most valuable thing. We see it in the Gemara in Bab Metzia, Daf Lamed Gimel. The Mishnah there says that if you have a lost object of your father and of your Rebbe, you only get to one of them. Or your father and your Rebbe, Chas V'Shalom, are drowning, you can only save one of them. Assuming your father is not also a Rebbe of yours, I hope all of your fathers are also your Rebbe on some level, and you'll be a Rebbe for your children, in which case there's no question, because your father's both. But if, let's say, extreme case, father taught you nothing, and your Rebbe taught you, you save your Rebbe. Why? The Mishnah says, because your father brings you into this world. Your Rebbe brings you into the next world. The next world is obviously a more important world to get to. You see the significance of being able to impact people in this way. So, it's a shame to add a quote from a Greek philosopher. The reason I do is to show you that even without being religious, you can appreciate the significance of the value of life beyond life itself. And that's how Aristotle stated it. Again, Aristotle, being a secular person, could only talk about the art of living well, being more valuable in life itself. We call it v'chaye olam, not the betuchenu, which is much better than the art of living well. And so hopefully all of you be people who, at least on whatever level possible, can make this kind of contribution. And if making that contribution in a full-time capacity, God bless you, is what you have been created with the ability to do, ashrechem, lucky are you. The goal should be to realize the Ratzon Hashem for you, which is based on how He created you. Again, just to clarify, this is another mistake in our community. Being a Talmud Chacham, being an Eved Hashem, that's a separate thing. You guys want to hear a funny story? I don't remember the story, but I'm told by my parents and all their friends that it happened. My father's a dentist, for those who don't know. When I was in pre-1A, the principal came. Graduation, sit a party, whatever it was. And he had all these lines. One of his lines was, I hope you all grow up to be Talmidei Chachamim, Bnei Torah, and Yirei Shamayim. I stood up and said, no, I want to be a dentist. Being a Talmud Chacham, Yirei Shamayim, Ben Torah, that's not an issue of profession. It should all be that. And then we have to figure out what way we can contribute. Some of us contribute by being dentists. You with me?
Okay.
We'll have a break for the next year.